From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, September 25th. I'm Abby Larico. Metro Theater Company's latest show is about a young girl whose birthday wish is for her immigrant father to be allowed back into the U.S. Similar stories in the news cycle can often be pretty heavy, but the mood of the show isn't pessimistic.
Yes, there are difficulties within our population as it relates to immigration, but at our core, we want to show young people that there's joy, that there's community, that there is family still there.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin speaks with the all-Latino team behind the show, coming up after this news on The Gateway. New documents obtained by St. Louis Public Radio reveal the price tag of a proposed data center at the shuttered Armory building surpasses that of a controversial billion-dollar project that caused public outrage in St. Charles. STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri has more.
Documents show the proposed Armory Tech District in Midtown would cost roughly $1.5 billion and take 3 years to complete. Previously, the project's $600 million construction cost was the only public figure available. But records show the developer will also make $700 million in equipment purchases along with other development costs. Developer Rod Thomas of THO Investments said Wednesday he couldn't comment on specifics of the project, but plans to engage the public soon. The new details come as community groups and some aldermen push back against the project. A petition calling for St. Louis to ban new data center proposals for a year has gained more than 500 signatures. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
Plans to build the north-to-south Metrolink Green Line are officially scrapped. The $1.1 billion proposal would have run a street-level light rail train between Jefferson Avenue, Chippewa Street, and Fairground Park. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer says in a statement that the project would have been uncompetitive and out of reach for the city's current funding stream. She says she looks forward to exploring other transit options, including buses. St. Louisans approved a sales tax increase in 2017 to go toward Metrolink expansion. Bi-state leaders said 2 years ago that competing for federal funding could be difficult. A judge is considering whether St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery must immediately comply with a new law focused on his job. Montgomery's attorneys argued in an hours-long hearing Wednesday that the law requiring his office to medically transport jail detainees and submit to financial monitoring is unconstitutional. They say the office needs more money to do medical transports. The city's lawyers counter that the sheriff's department has handled such trips for decades and that the bill only formalizes the duty. Former St. Louis Sheriff Vernon Betts is one of the city's witnesses.
We did it when I was a sheriff deputy. We did it when I was a sheriff. And whether it's required by law or not, it's something that has to be done.
Circuit Judge Joan L. Moriarty did not immediately rule. The Missouri Supreme Court heard arguments over whether the state law barring gender-affirming care for transgender minors should stand. St. Louis Public Radio Sarah Kellogg reports.
The plaintiffs in the lawsuit against the legislation appealed to the state Supreme Court after a lower court ruled in favor of the state. They are seeking a reversal of the prior ruling, which kept the law intact. This appeal before the Missouri Supreme Court comes months after the U.S. Supreme Court upheld a similar law in Tennessee that bars transgender minors from accessing gender-affirming care. Arguing on behalf of the state, Solicitor General Louis Capozzi said the circuit court got the ruling right the first time. He quoted the Supreme Court's ruling as reason to uphold the law.
States have, quote, wide discretion to pass legislation in areas where there is medical and scientific uncertainty.
The Missouri Supreme Court will rule on the case at a later date. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
There's an effort to recall St. Charles Mayor Dan Borgmeyer. A group of St. Charles residents started the process Wednesday afternoon, filing a document alleging that the mayor has violated the city charter through conflicts of interest. St. Charles resident Olivia Cross, who is part of the recall effort, says she expects more from her local government than the federal government.
They're becoming mainly, it seems, influenced by profit and by political connection and financial gain. It's even more disappointing, I think, at a local level because I expect more.
Once the group receives its petition documents, it has 6 months to collect about 10,000 signatures for the recall to get on a ballot. Cross says she hopes this sets a precedent that the people of St. Charles will hold all city officials accountable. Borgmeyer could not immediately be reached for comment. The water in Bethalto is safe to drink, despite months of complaints about it being brown. That's according to a recent analysis from the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency. As STLPR's Will Bauer reports, concerned residents believe the increased scrutiny has led to the Metro East community fixing their short-term problems.
Over the summer, Bethalto residents began to speak out at village board meetings about brown water in their homes. Independent tests even found elevated levels of the metal manganese. However, recent state testing found that Bethalto's water met all state and federal standards. Resident Amy Flatt, who's been concerned with the brown water, says the village has stepped up its efforts after they began to speak out.
That was the goal anyway. And it seems to have worked because as soon as they knew that this was happening, somehow miraculously they fixed the problem. Like, our water's clear now.
She's hoping the village can now find long-term solutions. Mayor Gary Boss says the village has been flushing lines in affected areas, and it also replaced problematic filters at the water treatment plant. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture is ending its longstanding annual hunger survey. Operation Food Search in St. Louis says that will be detrimental to relief efforts. President and CEO Kristen Wild says data in the USDA reports help federal, state, and local groups know where to send resources. She says ending the survey won't make the need disappear.
Cancellation of the report is not canceling hunger. Hunger is increasing, and we need the data to most effectively deploy the resources to those who don't have enough healthy food.
The USDA has published the annual survey for 30 years, highlighting the geographic location of food deserts across the country. Researchers most recently found the food insecurity rate in the U.S. was 13.5% in 2023. Metro Theater Company's production of Carmela, Full of Wishes, shows a day in the life of a young girl longing for a phone call from her immigrant father, who's barred from the U.S. The show features an all-Latino cast. They're mostly performing it at schools, but the public is invited to 4 performances this weekend at Metro Theater Company in Grand Center. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin asked director Adam Flores what's special about performing the show at this moment in time.
To have an all-Latina cast going around and engaging with young people and to get to see representation that isn't wholly based in our trauma, that is also really based in our joy and our community, that yes, there are difficulties within our population as it relates to immigration, and that is becoming more and more fraught. But at our core, we want to show young people that there's joy, that there's community, that there is family still there.
The play is mostly in English, but as Carmela walks around her neighborhood doing errands with her brother and planning out her birthday wishes, the characters use some Spanish.
Yes! I love paletas! Hola! Hola! Buenos días! Where's Señor Garza?
Actor Alex Tash plays Carmela's brother.
The first school we went to was a lot of Spanish-speaking kids that were, like, really excited to just hear Spanish in the play. That was something I just didn't even think about, because I think all kids will like it and relate to it because it's a story about a kid and things that kids go through, but especially if you are from a community that is a Spanish-speaking community and hearing all this Spanish and stuff that you might hear in your everyday, seeing it on stage might be something new and really exciting.
Fabi Cabrera plays Carmela.
I really love the way that the play approached it, where, you know, she's talking about paletas and most kids will be like, oh, a popsicle, paleta, popsicle, boom. They just learned a new word without it turning into this very teachy, like, Dora moment.
The story is told from Carmela's point of view, and she doesn't fully understand why her papi isn't with the family anymore. In this rehearsal clip, Carmela confronts her brother with something she overheard her mother say, that something is wrong with her father's papers.
So, are you going to tell me?
About?
Papi's papers?
Papi had to leave the country because he wasn't born here, like you and me and Mommy. And the only way he can come home is if he gets his papers fixed.
If he gets his papers fixed, he can finally come home?
He can finally come home.
Cabrera says she wants to leave young audiences with something to think about long after the play ends.
I still truly believe that, like, I'm just planting a little seed in the back of their head, this first grader or whatever, and they grow up and they'll face something similar to Carmela. They have like something in the back of their head saying like, I'm going to open up my heart to this person and I'm going to open up my heart to this thing. That's my main goal when I'm doing this show, is that I'm like planting a little empathy seed in the back of a kid's head.
As Carmela moves through her day, she interacts with shopkeepers and other folks in the neighborhood. It's the strength of the community around Carmela that director Adam Flores focuses on.
A lot of the Latina diaspora is like living in a space of being like missing people and not having people. At the same time, we're understanding that community is where we find those other people, that it's not just about the people that we are related to by blood, but by the people that we're related to by culture, by values, by care, by compassion. And so this play really foregrounds the fact that even though Carmela is missing her papi, there's all these other people in her life that are showing up.
That was theater director Adam Flores and actors Fabiola Cabrera and Alex Tash speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin. Rob Edwards edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.